If you are in that age range, 4 to 4th grade, we invite you to go to children's church. Gideon, I need you to go find my sermon. Okay, go get my sermon. Sermon. Okay, your mom. Okay, on my desk. Will the rest of you open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 9? If you do not have a Bible, the words will be on the screen. The scripture will be on the screen. Mark chapter 9, we're going to look at verses 14 through 29 today. We really have been having a great time with Vacation Bible School. Some of our workers are probably pretty worn out after this past week. We won't mention anything about the dancing. Bring it on. You got the video? Mark chapter 9, there was a Vacation Bible School song that they made me come up and dance to. It was the same that you've already seen the clip when we were on the mission trip, so we don't need to show it again. I want to talk to you about faith this morning, and this, thank you, is one of the best passages in all of Scripture about faith. You remember last week we were looking at the Transfiguration, how when Jesus took three of his disciples up onto the mountaintop, that while they were praying, Jesus was transfigured. Now, exactly what that term means is unclear, except that his glory began to shine from him. And it was like this bright, bright light coming forth from him, even to the point where his clothes became completely white. And the scripture writers say, so white that they were whiter than any bleach would ever be able to whiten them. Now, these disciples then got a glimpse of the glory of Jesus. And shortly after that, they come back down from the mountain. And just like we talked about last week, we don't get to stay on these mountaintop experiences. We need to walk with Jesus in our daily lives, even down in the valleys, not just up on the mountains where we get to go and be with him, but down in the valleys where we walk with him and go through the trials of life together. And it's interesting how as soon as they come down off the mountain, one of these trials is going on with the rest of the disciples. It's kind of like if you've ever had someone in your family get to go somewhere great, and you were left at home, and when they get back, they want to tell you about all the great things they experienced, and yet everything is in turmoil for you. And you say, well, great, you must have had a good time, but look what's going on here. Come back to earth with us. Come back to reality. Well, these three disciples got to come back to reality very quickly. But what's interesting is the reality is whether Jesus was on the mountaintop with them or whether he's down in the valley with them, he's still the glory of God. Still the power of God on display. And we see that in this passage. Will you stand with me as we read this passage together, as we honor the reading of God's Word together? And the words should be on the screen. Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. O unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? from childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me in my unbelief. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, Why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, This kind can come out only by prayer. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that even on the times of the valley, we would see your glory. Lord, that we would recognize your power, that we would behold you, Lord, and that we would know your healing, and know your joy, and know the obedience that comes with that relationship with you. I pray that this morning as we look at this man and look at his need for you, I pray that we would see ourselves in him and that we would cry out to you to help us overcome our unbelief. I pray this in your precious name and your holy power, Jesus. Amen. Will you please be seated? Very simple this morning, looking at the scripture, talking to you about our relationship with the Lord and our trust in him. It's a key what this man says to Jesus. He says, if you can, please take pity on us. If you can, do something about this, Jesus, please do. If you can, if there's any way that you have any power, if there's anything you can do, please do it. And Jesus turns it around. If you can? Really? That's how he would say it nowadays. Somebody asks a question like that, you'd say, really? Really? If you can, that's what you come to me with? If you can. Jesus says, all things are possible for him who believes. Turns it right back on the man. It's not about whether God has the power. It's about whether you will trust in that power. So this morning, as we look at this, see yourself in this man. How many times have you just come to him? The Lord, if you can do anything about this, why don't you? Why do I cry out to you and you won't do anything? If you could possibly, Lord, do anything. And here Jesus turning it right back and saying, if you can believe, all things are possible. If you can. An incredible statement. So I want to start off with talking about if Jesus can. How many people ask this every day? If you can. Go to the next slide. How many people are not convinced that Jesus is able to heal? How many people are not convinced that he is able to save? How many of your friends and your co-workers and your family members truly struggle with the idea that God could possibly do anything? Truly struggle with the idea that there is a God? How many times have you fallen into that same trap? If you can, God. You ask the question of whether God's power could even do anything in your situation. Whether your situation is so far gone that even God couldn't help. That even God couldn't bring peace out of the chaos that you experience. You know, when Kristen has talked about her trips to the mental institution that she's been going in as her rotation, she comes home, doesn't talk about specific cases necessarily, but talks about just how hopeless it feels. Could God possibly do anything there? That's where our minds go. That's where our hearts go. How could God even do this? How could God bring joy out of sorrow? Maybe this is the situation that stretches His ability to the limits. Maybe we finally got to the point in this circumstance that even God couldn't do anything. You ever felt that way? Truth is, you have. You might have been afraid to say it, but you've acted like it. This addiction that I have, God couldn't do anything. I'm on my own. This problem with my spouse, God can't do anything. I'm on my own. That's the same thing this man did when he came to Jesus. If you can do anything about this, please do something. Why would the man have said that? Well, Jesus asked him about his child's condition. How long has this been going on? How long has he been possessed by this demon that's been doing these things to him? From childhood. From childhood, he answered. In fact, it's often thrown him into the fire or into the water to try to kill him. If you can do anything, please do it. Why did the man get to this place? He's coming to Jesus because he's heard of Jesus. He's heard of the healings. He's heard of what the Lord has been doing. And he comes to him, and instead of saying, Lord, I know that you can do something about this, he says, if you could possibly. Why? Well, the disciples failed. Everyone else he's gone to has failed. This has been going on his whole son's life. No one's been able to do anything. Jesus will probably fail too. If you can do anything, do it, Lord. Anything. But I really don't know if you can. I'm coming to you because I just don't have anywhere else to go. I'm not coming to you because I really trust in you. I'm not coming into you because I really think that you have the power to do this. I just don't have anywhere else to go. How many people come to Jesus because there's nowhere else to go? How many people try out this thing called faith, this thing called Christianity, because they just don't have anywhere else to turn to? The bottom is so deep. They've exhausted every possible route of change, so they figure they'll go ahead and try Jesus. Jesus, if you can do anything. But this isn't faith. Can Jesus do something? Yes. He's God. He's God. You know, this man must have heard about the healings, otherwise he wouldn't have come to Jesus. This man must have heard about all that Christ had done, multiplying the food, taking loaves of bread and feeding 500, feeding 400, just taking bread and ripping it up. 5,000, excuse me. I'm a power of 10 off today. Multiplying the food, multiplying the loaves and the fishes, feed 5,000 and 4,000 on two separate occasions. Healing those who were a woman who's bleeding for years and years and years. No doctor can heal her. She just touches the hem of his garment and she's healed. Standing up in the boat and telling the waves to stop, the wind to be silent, and they obey him. This is God come to earth in the flesh. Can he do anything? Well, yeah. Really? Really. God can do things that no one else can do. Can God heal? Can he bring back to life? Jesus, on several occasions, took someone who was dead. My favorite one is he walks up to a funeral procession. They don't even know he's coming. It's kind of like the funeral procession is in the way, so he just walks up and goes up to the casket and tells, young man, stand up. And the guy gets right up, right out of the casket. Goes to the tomb. Lazarus has been there for a couple days already. Lazarus, come forth. And he comes forth. Has a power over life and death. What else has God done? Well, he created you and I. He created all of the stars in the sky. He created everything, the planets and all that are in them. Does he have power? If you can. How many times do you go to that creator of all the universe and wonder if he can do anything for you? How many times do you go to that creator and show absolutely no faith in his abilities? Can you imagine what it must sound like to God when we come to him? I'm thankful that he's a forgiving God. Because when I look at my faithlessness, I'm amazed. I doubt the one who created everything. I doubt the one who holds it all together by his being. I doubt him. My wife gets mad when I doubt her. Seriously. I get mad when she doesn't trust me. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. We go to God that same way. If you can. As if it's him that's the problem. The man comes to Jesus, if you can. As if Jesus is the problem, and Jesus turns it right around. If you can? No. No, no. This isn't the problem with the Lord. This is the problem with the one who is seeking him. Go to the next slide. He turns it right back around. The truth is, if we can do what? If we can trust him, if we can believe. He says, if you can, everything is possible for him who believes. These are incredible statements Jesus makes about faith and belief all throughout the scripture. See, the problem is it lies with us. We focus on the circumstance and not on God. We focus on the problem and not the power that God has. We believe the situation. We believe what others tell us. We believe what we see. We believe our eyes. We believe our ears. But we don't believe the Spirit of God speaking to us. We don't believe the Scripture showing it to us. We don't believe looking around and seeing the handiwork of God before us. We'll believe our eyes and ears and not the one who actually gave us those. Luke chapter 1, God comes to Mary. Says, soon you will be with child. She says, how could this happen? I've never been with a man. The angel tells her what? Nothing is impossible with God. And yet we refuse to believe it. Because we know our problem. You know, here are some of the things that happen when people come to Jesus in true faith. It's an amazing thing. The woman with the bleeding problem that I mentioned that reaches out and touches the hem of his garment. Do you know what he said to her when he turns? First he says, who touched me? Disciples are going, are you crazy? Who touched you? You got a crowd all around you. Everybody's touching you. He says, no. Power has left me. Who touched me? And the woman comes forward. And what he says to her is this. Take heart, daughter. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment. Another time, two men come to him who are blind. And he asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Basically, do you believe I can heal you of your blindness? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. And their sight was restored. Another time, a woman came to him. She wasn't part of the Jewish nation. She was part of one of the pagan nations around. And she came and she begged him to bring healing to her daughter. And she wouldn't go away. And he tells her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And from that moment, her daughter was healed that very hour. Over and over and over, we see that Jesus says, by your faith, you have gotten what you've sought. What you've sought, sorry. That's really not seeked? So you can't seek? If you can, Jesus says, no, if you can trust, if you can believe, if you can place your life in my hands, you will find what you're seeking. Everything is possible for him who believes. What do we have in the Scripture to compare this to? What faith have we seen in the Old Testament and the New Testament? What about David? Do you know what David says when he comes to the Philistine? You remember what happens. You have the Philistines, you have the Israelites, they're at war against each other, and out comes Goliath, a man who towers over everyone. They called him a giant. He's probably about 8-9 feet, somewhere in that range. Okay? Not like 30 feet tall, but they were only about 4 to 5 feet tall at the time. So he was pretty big. No one would come against him. They're all cowering in fear. Who comes along? Shepherd boy, David. Comes in from the flocks, gets some stuff to bring to his brothers who are actually in the army. David's not even in the army. We don't know exactly how old he was, but he was probably a teenager at the very most. And he comes up, he says, how do you let that Philistine go around and blaspheme God like that? I'll take care of him. They think he's crazy. What are you talking about? Listen, I have taken care of bear and lions that have tried to attack the sheep. I can take care of this guy. And he goes out there, and the Philistine, Goliath, just laughs. Can't believe they're sending this little kid out to fight him. That all of Israel put their trust in this one child. What's David say to him? It's one of the most amazing scriptures in all the Bible. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head." Next time your circumstance seems a little too big, maybe you should try that. Come on! I'll cut off your head. You scaring me now? Just wait till the Lord gets done with you. Guy comes to Jesus, if you can do anything. Jesus says, if you can? Really? No, all things are possible for him who believes. Don't you know your scripture? Don't you know that David stood up against Goliath in the power that God gave him? One stone, boom, the guy's dead. And what did David do? Picks up a sword he can barely pick up and cuts his head off. Just like he said he would. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You know this story in the book of Daniel. You have these young men who are taken from Israel to Babylon, and they're put in a place of authority because the king sees that they're very wise. But then the king comes out with a decision. He wants everybody to bow down to a statue of himself. And every time, every single day, that the zith, the like, I don't know, all these different instruments, the flute, the lyre, what is a zith thing? All these instruments, when they play, everyone in the kingdom is supposed to bow down, except these men wouldn't bow down. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They would not bow, and the king brings them over to a fire, stoked hotter and hotter, and says, if you don't bow down, you're in there. Here's what they say to him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we need not defend ourselves before you in this matter. We're thrown into the blazing furnace. The God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. God is able to do this, king. Not sure if he's going to, but my God is able to. I have prayed that he will, and I will walk in that trust. You see, we use this, if you can, to get out of the thing we're supposed to do, which is obedience. We say, God, if you can do anything about this, please do, but we won't walk in obedience. We won't stick our necks out. We won't take that first step to show God that I trust that you can. We hedge it by, well, maybe you can't. Is it really? all things are possible for those who believe. But we have plenty of witnesses to the power of God that have gone before us. What about this man? What about this father? Go to the next one. Next slide, please. This father, when he's confronted, recognizes right away that he wasn't acting in faith. And he repents. Jesus confronts him. And how does he respond? Does he try to get out of it? Does he try to come up with a reason why maybe he didn't trust the way he should? Does he blame it on Jesus anymore? No, he takes full responsibility. He says, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. When you're confronted with the fact that you haven't trusted God the way you need to, how do you respond? Here's an individual that's really struggling right now. And I was talking to the individual about an illness that they have. And I just laid it out for them. I said, look, I understand the struggle you have, and I totally have compassion on you about this. But the truth is, what God has shown you to do, you need to go ahead and do. You need to trust that God will be there and trust that He will help you through. And you need to give Him the fact that you don't trust Him and ask for the faith to trust Him more. But this individual won't take that first step. In fact, I was talking to them and they said, you know, I've been praying and praying and praying and I don't know why God won't fix this. I don't know why God won't heal me. I said, well, you keep praying, but you just want God to do it all, don't you? Yeah, why hasn't He done it? Well, that's not the way it works. You see, you pray for God to bring healing, and when He shows you what you need to do for that relationship with Him that you're supposed to have, you do it. You don't decide that, God, after you heal me, I'll worship you. You worship Him now. You walk in obedience now. You surrender to Him everything that you need to surrender now. And you cry out, Lord, help me in the areas I don't show trust. This man immediately, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Lord, I do have a small bit of faith. It's shaky, and I'm having a hard time with it. But I know I need to completely trust you. Show me how to do that. I pray this all the time. Do you? I mean, just stupid stuff. Backpack ministry. This is our fourth year doing it. You would think by now that I'd just trust God. I mean, this is our fourth year having no idea how we were going to take care of the needs of these kids. And it's the fourth year that God has provided in just amazing ways. I just want to tell you a real quick thing of how this worked this past week. I didn't even realize how much I was struggling with faith in this. Had no idea. Does that happen to you? You think everything's fine, and then all of a sudden God shows you that you're faithless. And so I'm struggling. And so I finally realized that I'm not trusting Him. And so for about a week, I'm on my knees just crying out, Lord, just show me how to trust You. Show me what to do. I'm sorry. I want to trust You. I want to be like David going up against Goliath. I would love to look back on my life and look and say, Lord, look what You did. Look how You used me. You gave me a faith that I was able to just trust You beyond belief. But I stumble a lot of times. I'm crying out to Him, and then last Sunday, this is the way that God works. Last Sunday, after crying out to Him, saying, Lord, this is Your ministry. You show us what to do. Show me what to do and show me how to trust You in this. I'm out at Walgreens. I told some of you this story. It just blows my mind. I'm at Walgreens and I'm getting a bunch of pencils that were on sale and I'm in line and this guy had already checked out. He was walking out the door of Walgreens and he turns back and sees all the pencils and all the stuff that's being bought. And he turns to me and says, "You must be a teacher." I said, "No, I'm not a teacher, I'm a pastor. And we're buying stuff for the kids, for Catherine Straley Elementary," and I tell them the whole story, and I pull out the master list. It's kind of like that, folded up in my pocket. Okay? Big old master list. And I show them, "You see all this stuff? This is fun, you know? We get to raise all this stuff, and it's amazing the way the Lord does it." And he's looking, and he goes, "What are all these zeros?" I said, "Well, that's stuff that God's already provided. It's gone." He says, "Well, what's this? There's like 500 of them." I said, "Well, that's composition notebooks, and we got a lot of those left." And I'm showing him how to read my master list. And this is what he says. "What can I do to help?" Now, what do you do when somebody asks a question like that? Yeah, you just give them the list, right? I said, I don't know. You tell me. What can you do to help?" He said, "Well, it looks like you need a lot of composition notebooks." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Hang on a second." He goes and grabs composition. I was about to go, "Well, that's not on sale," but I didn't say a word. And he goes and grabs 20 composition notebooks and comes back. And I'm just blown away. I mean, this guy I've never met, all of a sudden buying all these composition notebooks. But then he does this. While I'm checking out, he says to the woman at the cashier, he says, "Ma'am, put these composition notebooks with his stuff." And then he hands her his credit card and says, "And pay for it with that card." Now, I almost started crying. Not because of the generosity of this man, although I was blown away by it. But because God was showing me, "Don't you know I can provide for you in so many ways that you have no idea I have? If I wanted to, I could get people in Illinois to send a check to you. Monday, look through the mail, I got a card from a couple in Illinois. I open this card, and it's to Pastor Mark, and a piece of our bulletin is in there. Now, I don't know this couple other than they came many years ago to our church on a mission trip and asked to be put on the mail out. I think they're the Godfreys. Do you remember the Godfreys? You'll know them, Shirley, because I know they know you. And they wrote, "Pastor Mark, it is so wonderful to hear what God is doing in Avondale. Please take this check and apply it to the backpack ministry." I just started weeping. Lord, you're trying to prove a point here? Then the kids from Vacation Bible School raised, listen to this for a second, $250 $254 at Vacation Bible School. Why do we doubt? Why do we go to God and say, "If you can," when we know He can? Why don't we stand in the faith of David? Why don't we stand in the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? David went up to Goliath and said, "Look, it's all on the line, man. It's all on the line. I'm not holding anything back. Because I tell you what, Goliath, you think you're big stuff. But my God's bigger. And I feel like He sent me out here, and I'm going to cut your head off." How do you like that? And He did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "King, you are very great. But your greatness is only a worldly greatness. There is a great God over the heavens who will protect us. And you know what? If it's not in His will to protect us, we're going to step out because we know He can. And you're going to throw us in that fire and we're not afraid." You know what happens when they were in the fire? The king looks and goes, "Wait a minute, didn't we throw 3 men in there?" And they say, "Yes, king, we threw 3 in there." He says, "Well, how come there's 4 in there now? And one looks like a son of man," he says. Interesting title he used. Of all the things he could have said, you know what the Son of Man title was for? Jesus. And they came out, and he says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. Your God has saved you." And they didn't even smell like smoke, the scripture says. And Jesus says, if If you can, did I hear you properly? All things are possible for those who believe. So the question is, can you, can I believe? Can we trust in this God who can save? Can we trust in the Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer of life? Can we place all of it in His hands? If you can, and I can, all things are possible, because He is not limits. Great and mighty is the Lord. His understanding knows no limits. Will you pray with me? Will you go to Him now?